This is Adrian Paul, Duncan McLeod from Highlander, and you're listening to Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to a very special edition of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. From time to time, the Blood of Kings podcast may cover a noteworthy and notable newsworthy event, a special interview, or breaking Highlander news. Well, Highlander and the Blood of Kings fans, we have a truly special interview for all of you on this show. This episode is worthy of the title Kingmakers. As always, I don't do this alone. I'd like to welcome my co-host of Blood of Kings, Mr. Norman Seelau. How are you, sir?
I am very good, Kevin. How are you? This is a very special interview, and I'm very excited for the listeners to get to it. But as we always do on Blood of Kings, we want to make sure that all of our Blood of Kings listeners are first, as you so well put it, are well thanked for all of their support.
Yes, yes. This is a timely interview. I'm really, really excited about this with the gathering coming up and some sword experiences. But before we go any further, we'd like to tell our listeners how you can find Blood of Kings. You can find us on fpnet.podbean.com, or you can find the FPNet on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network, which is the master feed that you can find Blood of Kings, is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play for the Android users. On Instagram, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network and Blood of Kings there. And of course, we have the Blood of Kings, a Highlander fandom group Facebook page. Also, our sister page, the Blood of Kings Highlander CCG collectible card game page. If you'd like to contact us directly, you can email us at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at Blood of Kings Pod. On Instagram, we are Blood of Kings Podcast. My name is Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Norman, where can we find you on Twitter and Instagram?
You can find me on those channels at Starfighter1701 and especially on Instagram at SoCalSwordFighter.
All right. Now, Norma, we have a very special iTunes review contest that's going to be wrapping up at the end of this month. Remind the listeners about that.
So on iTunes, one of the things that helps any podcast out are reviews, and especially five-star reviews. So for the last 2 months and wrapping up, like you said, Kevin, at the end of this month of October, we are running a very special reviews contest. Now, the special thing about this contest is that you can tell us how we're doing based on your review and based on the star rating that you give us. So please write us a review on iTunes. And these reviews will help us increase our visibility on both the Blood of Kings and Fandom Podcast Network page there on iTunes. It helps us reach out to more listeners. Now, remember, you'll find us, Blood of Kings, on the master feed for the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, so you can leave your review and star rating there. The more creative your review, the better your chances will be as being picked as one of the winning entries. And we would like your very most honest review and your very most honest critique, because we want to be able to use these reviews to craft the kind of content that you, our fans, deserve. And thank you for all of your support and all the reviews that you have given us in the past. Now, originally, our prize was going to be a fan pick episode, which is a two-part episode that we've done in the past. However, we are also offering an Adrian Paul two-disc CD signed collector's edition of His Immortal Journey, or quote-unquote My Immortal Journey, that are a collection of Adrian Paul's early memories of how he first was involved with Highlander. And then, even more awesome than that, is a journal of photos and early collection of memories called Images. And it's something that's really special that one of you fans is going to win if we pick you as our number one review for this contest. So you have until the end of October. Time's ticking away. Only a few more weeks left. So make sure that you get that review in.
All right. Thank you, Norm. We're going to touch on the sword experience again later in this show, but we thought we would give an updated reminder here. Of course, you can find the Adrian Paul sword experience at theswordexperience.com online. And of course, coming up next is the Gathering sword experience where Norm and I will be at. And he has two of them currently scheduled. If you're going to be there, make sure you sign up for those. On October 28th, a week later in Baton Rouge, Louisiana at FIFOCon. November 10th at Providence, Rhode Island at Rhode Island Comic-Con, December 3rd in Chicago, and just recently announced in my neck of the woods, January 28th in Atlanta.
Did they say where, Kevin? Do you know
the location I'm not familiar with, but it's just south of downtown Atlanta. Probably for me, because I'm north of downtown Atlanta, for me it's probably like about a 40-minute drive south, but I'm not familiar with the location, but there's an address down there, so I think he found a cool location to do it with. So I'm going to do some more information on that and also share that, because I got some friends locally that are interested. So
oh yeah, drag them along for sure. Yeah.
Yes. And speaking of the Highlander 25th anniversary convention coming up very, very soon, Norm, less than 2 weeks, Friday, October 20th through Sunday, October 22nd at the Crown Plaza, Los Angeles International Airport. This is going to be a big one. We've got Adrian Paul there. We've got a huge variety of guests there, as we've talked about. And please check that out. If you haven't gotten your tickets, please do so. And also make sure you get there for the Friday masterclasses, because they're filling up quickly there. And we've talked about that on a recent episode. You can also visit highlanderworldwide.com for more information. But we also were reminded our listeners, Norm, that we have our Blood of Kings 25th anniversary convention meetup the night before, Thursday night, October 19th, just a little over a week away, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Crown Plaza Main Lobby Century Tap Room Restaurant, which will be nicknamed Joe's that night. There is a Facebook event page on the Blood of Kings Facebook page. So make sure, if you're going to let us know that you're going to be there and sign up for that. Really, really excited about that.
And you just shared something special that the participants or the attendees are going to get if they are part of that celebration.
Yes, we have exclusive Blood of Kings Team Iron Pipe patches that will be given out free to anyone that shows up at the actual gathering meetup on Thursday night. Extras that we have over will be sold throughout the weekend for $5. But there'll be one free for each person while supplies last at the meetup. So something special for you, and an incentive to show up at Joe's on Thursday night.
And it's really easy to get to the Century Tap Room. You walk into the hotel and it's basically turn left.
Yeah, there it is. You won't be able to miss it. We also want to congratulate our friend Chris Castagnetto on the Highlander the Duel card game Kickstarter. They reached some stretch goals. I think there's going to be some Highlander sleeves now included and stuff. So please keep donating. Check that out. We had a great interview with him recently, and we're really, really excited about that. But Norman, I say we get into the meat of this show. This is the Kingmakers show for a reason. We've been wanting to get this gentleman on for quite a long time now, but he's been very busy. Well, we are lucky to introduce to you an interview that we recorded with, of course, Duncan MacLeod, the Highlander himself, Mr. Adrian Paul. Norm, here we are, man. Isn't this cool?
You know, if there's only one thing that I regret about this particular show, is that I can't hide on my cover art who the interviewee is going to be. You know, because we want it to be a surprise, and all of a sudden someone is like, you know, they're looking through their covers and their podcast feeds, and all of a sudden they'll see this image of Adrian Paul. But also it's a double-edged sword, because Adrian Paul is the Highlander, and he is about as marquee of an icon as it comes when it comes to this particular franchise.
Well, I thought that you would, you wrote a really nice intro to his interview here, also talking about his peace fund. I thought that you would read that for us.
I would be delighted to. And this actually comes from his Sword Experience website. This is something that you can find there on the Sword Experience. And one thing before I start, Kevin, is that you and I, ever since we started Blood of Kings, have always been a big supporter of the Sword Experience, because yes, I think that you and I, we love when our stars, our celebrities can actually meet the public, meet their fans in this way. It's not that he's signing autographs at an event. He's actually creating spaces.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we always promote the Sword Experience here on Blood of Kings, not just because we feel like we're obligated to, but because we've actually experienced this wonderful event ourselves with Adrian. And we've always been promoting how much fun it is. And it was a bucket list item and how great he is as a teacher as well. And so I'm glad that you brought that up.
Agreed. Agreed. And I would like to read this and make sure that everyone understands kind of like the weights and the importance of Adrian Paul and how special he is to not only just Highlander, but to the SOAR experience and his Peace Fund as well. Adrian Paul is an actor renowned for his lead role as Duncan MacLeod in the action series Highlander. The show spanned 6 seasons, 117 episodes, and ran in over 90 countries worldwide. As well as starring in numerous action films, including 2 Highlander films, he has also choreographed numerous sword fights and action sequences for both television and film during his 30-year entertainment career. During that time, he has also directed and produced TV and film, along with founding his own charity, the Peace Fund. That stands for Protect, Educate, Aid Children Everywhere. The Peace Fund has been in existence since 1997, helping improve the lives of children in the U.S., Haiti, Thailand, Cambodia, Pakistan, Hungary, and Romania. In June 2015, Adrian ran a SOAR experience workshop to raise money for one of the children of the Peace Fund supported. The event went so well that Adrian decided to hold other similar events at venues across the U.S. At this once-in-a-lifetime experience, Adrian will be hands-on to pass on some of the knowledge he learned while working with world-renowned action stars, stunt choreographers, and sword masters. So hand in hand, the Peace Fund, his organization, helped kickstart the sword experience. How amazing is that?
Oh, it is. It's really, really cool. And Norm, we know that you have experienced a Peace Fund charity yourself with Adrian Paul. It was part of our mission statement, and I know how you felt about it, and you contributed to it as well.
That's true. In late May of 2016, Adrian Paul had a Peace Fund organization dinner in Burbank, California at the Gordon Biersch restaurant. And one of the things that really struck me as very poignant and very powerful, how much he is involved with every facet of every one of his projects, the Peace Fund organization and the SOAR experience. He is very hands-on. And I think that's something that a lot of the fans know who have experienced those particular events. And a lot of fans will come to know once they actually do an event. So I think it's time, Kevin. I think it's, I would like to have you do the honors of introducing our very special guest.
Well, Norman, Adrian's been very busy. Of course, he's been preparing for his SOAR experiences. He's also been a working actor as well, and he's been very busy. And I want to thank Adrian ahead of time here for coming on Blood of Kings. And we're very proud. So without further ado, I'd like to present our official Blood of Kings interview with Adrian Paul. On behalf of Blood of Kings and the Fandom Podcast Network, it is our extreme pleasure to introduce Duncan MacLeod himself, Mr. Adrian Paul. Adrian, welcome to Blood of Kings.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
We know that you've been a very busy guy, both working and acting and doing your SOAR experiences. And that's one of the things we want to talk about first. Because of the upcoming SOAR experience events that you have running in Los Angeles, Baton Rouge, Providence, Chicago in 2017, and just recently added in 2018 near my home in Atlanta, we'd love to start the show talking about the SOAR experience. Ever since we started Blood of Kings, we have always supported the SOAR experience and love reading about all of your travels, the choreographies you choose, and we love hearing about all the feedback from your students. The SOAR experience is embarking on its 3rd year in 2018. What was your inspiration in creating the SOAR experience? And are you surprised with its global success? And was your European tour, and what was one of your favorite locations there?
That's a lot of questions. All right, well, let's start off with where I started it. Started off pretty much in Sacramento in 2015. And it was, we started it because we were raising money for a young boy. I realized that there was a lot of interest in it. And I thought, well, let me try and see if there is interest. And we ran a number of workshops in 2015, which went from Reno, I think, Pittsburgh, bunch of places, and we got a lot of good response. So I realized that at the time that there's a lot of sword type shows out there. People are very much into that now. You know, you've got so many of them. You know, from Game of Thrones to Into the Badlands to, I mean, even the latest Wonder Woman has a bunch of sword stuff in it. And so I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun to teach people. Not, I don't want to teach them as a teacher, because yes, I know a lot of stuff, but everybody's got their own opinion on stuff. I want to give people an experience. I want to give them something that they might not have thought of doing before and not get intimidated by it as well. So I chose fights that they may have seen in the movies. Of course, we started with Highlander, and you know, it went from there. You know, we've always picked locations. A lot of the time it started with cons, but I wanted to expand, and it's expanding into a lot of different things right now. But I wanted it to expand more to real experiences and castles and great locations. And so we started it. The first one we ever did was at a winery, and the experience included, you know, wine afterward and a meal and certain gifts that you could get. And so we're expanding on that now as well. And I've also taking it to the corporate level as well. We've got our next corporate event is in December in New York. And you mentioned Chicago. It's just before Chicago, actually. So it's expanded a lot. But I want people to have fun as well as learning something. It doesn't mean that it's easy, because it's a workout. And I'm very strict on people doing stuff, because I believe if you're going to do something, you do it wholeheartedly and you pay attention at that moment, because it's all about the now. It's not about what happened yesterday or what happened tomorrow. And that's part of the whole experience of really kind of understanding that what you're doing is, you know, something that you can take into your own life and kind of live by those types of rules. That let's deal with what's in front of me right now. Because when you've got somebody with a sword in their hand, you've got to deal with them right in front of you. Because if you take your mind strays, or if your attention goes somewhere else, you or your partner or somebody else can get hurt. So it has an all-encompassing thing, and it's grown and grown in many different ways.
It looks like your European tour was successful. Did you have a favorite location when you did that tour?
Well, you know, I mean, I kind of had a lot of fun in all of them for different reasons. There was, we actually, Chantilly in France was kind of special in a sense, because it was a Highlander. I did the fight was the same fight we did in Highlander Prodigal Son, and we filmed it on the same location
We
did Prodigal Son. So it was not just I'm going to tell you right now, I'm looking at an orange sunset. It's absolutely stunning on a freeway going back to back into Los Angeles. But I thought I'd just mention that because it's a moment. But the story experience, Chantilly was great. Grim Castle was awesome because we were able to shoot so many different places. And you know, Warwick Castle was great because of the location. I mean, all of them were spectacular, and they were very different. And that's what I wanted to have, because, you know, when I do a tour, for instance, I want people to get a different type of experience. And that's what we're going to be doing next year.
That's fantastic. Oh, being from Southern California, I know those sunsets very, very well. I wanted you to expand. You recently released a video regarding your sword experience about asking for people to become a musketeer. Tell us about this program.
Yeah, well, you know, I always believe that a network is a much stronger way to look at things. And there are so many different sword styles and sort of forms that eventually I want to be incorporating a lot of those styles and forms into the sword experience, so that you can, you want to go and find out about somebody, you can find out in one place. And the sword experience musketeers will help me start that idea by, in their own town, finding the location or maybe the martial arts studios that may be interested in joining in the sword experiences that we put on in different cities and different states across the U.S. and across the world, because we've had it from everywhere. We've had responses from everywhere. I wasn't quite sure at first how well it would go, but being a musketeer, you get special things. You're going to get little gifts. You're going to get first-hand knowledge. You get 10% off all sword experience merchandise. And then as you work through, you know, the more people you bring in as a sword musketeer, the more benefits you're going to be getting in your pocket. So it's going to be it's like a club in a sense. We're going to be starting a Facebook page solely for the Musketeers so they can discuss ideas across the network. So it's kind of I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to where it's going. And we've had a huge response, which is fantastic.
Well, I just want to mention that we here at Bloody Kings will be happy to help promote that because we're really excited about that program.
Thank you. Well, we'll keep you in contact. Norman did a sort of sprint in LA, I think. Did you, Norman?
I did. And that was something I wanted to jump into because you and I met there. I mean, we're no strangers to, I mean, especially Kevin and myself and Kyle and a lot of the listeners out there. You know, we're all fans of yours. We always have been. And it's the sword experience is something that has been very profound for us. And I know that it's something that allows you to deeply connect with the fans, but you have to have some people that are doing like multiple and repeat experiences. And I think that those are some of the people that are really going to get a lot out of this Musketeer program, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the we're eventually going to be having a rewards program as well, which actually will allow you, the more experiences you take, the more points you get, which will allow you, you know, more ability to get different types of merchandise, different types of discounts on sword experience events. And yeah, I mean, I've had people, I think the most I've had so far is 7 or 8. Somebody's had 7 or 8, and I know there are people that have 5, 6 as well. So I'm really surprised, but very honored that people really enjoy them.
What do you think it is, Kevin? I mean, Adrian, that I know I'm going a little bit off script here, but there's something about the sword experience that I think that people find very profound on almost a spiritual level when they're learning choreography. I know that they want to be with you because, you know, as our celebrity, we like to share this experience with you, but I think there's something else there. When I took the sword experience with you almost a year ago at the Stanley Comic Expo or Kamikaze, there was something that transcended, I think, in your teaching. And I think that's something that the fans really enjoy. I think they were coming expecting one thing, but I think that they left with something else. What do you think that is?
You know, it's funny. I hear that a lot, in fact. And I didn't really think about it at first when I did it. But then what I've realized is a lot of people find that they can say, one of the things that is really important for people is that they don't think they can do it. And then they go, but I actually did. I did it. And I was able to do it. So they find like a confidence in themselves to be able mm-hmm. to do that. And you know, there are different exercises we do, and every sword experience is different. And the one that's going to be coming up at the gathering in a couple of weeks is going to be different again. Not just the choreography, but what I'm trying to, you know, give to people in that particular experience. What is it you're going to take away from it? Is it going to be that you're able to do the choreography? Is it because you realize that it's a real workout and you could, you know, now you're sore? or is it that, you know, you met a partner that, I mean, yeah. We've had a lot of people that say, yeah, I met a partner there. I'm still in contact with them. We keep talking and it's great. You know, I can't wait for the next one. So it's kind of, there's a lot of different reasons that people take things away from it. You know, of course, yes, there's the fact that they want to, you know, fight with Duncan MacLeod. If they are, in fact, Highlander fans, I've had choreographers, I've had, you know, stage combat people, martial artists that were not Highlander fans. They just had heard about it and they wanted to come and see what it was about. And, you know, I've gotten good feedback from them, which is important because I do want to expand upon the world of the sword experience and not just confine it to Highlander fans.
Yeah, I mean, the sword experience in itself is evolving and growing so much. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more towards the end of the interview. But the one thing that I really want you to be able to talk about is something that I think that is part of your passion. It always has been since 1997, and that's the Peace Fund. And I actually met you for the first time in May last year when we met each other at the dinner at Gordon Biersch for the Peace Fund. Yeah. And Ethan Dettmeyer at Combat Radio was covering that. And I'd like for our audience here to know a little bit more about the Peace Fund from your words. I know that they can read about it online, but I think it's really important for our audience to hear what the Peace Fund means to you and what your plans are for the Peace Fund, at least now or going into 2018.
Well, you know, I mean, it's been around for now for 20 years. 20? almost 20 years now. So it's changed a lot over the years on what the direction has been. In the past year or so, we've really sort of gone toward more education because not, and I say education, our mandate, which is in the name, peace, protect, educate, aid children every day. That protect, educate, and aid all comes from education. You can't protect a kid without educating people on how to do it. You can't educate, you can't have a career without having a correct education. You can't tell people what is wrong with a child unless they're educated to know what the answers are. So education really is our key, and that's part of what people on radio as well is, which is the two-hour podcast that we do every week, where we talk to different organizations, different celebrities, different heroes of the week who've done positive things. And I think the thing about the Peace Fund is that, you know, we want, I don't care whether a kid comes from Afghanistan or Africa or Europe or wherever, America, it doesn't matter, you know, because totally honest, I think that, you know, it's the human psyche that changes people and affects the kids and puts your ideas and thoughts into a child's head. Because when a child is put into a group of other children of different colors, different races, different religions, they all get along. And they, but it's afterwards that we are putting our ideas in their heads. I'll give you an example of that. You know, you have kids going, I don't like such and such. Well, how do you know you don't like it? Well, I don't like them. And my son would say something like that. And I said, well, how do you know? Well, because they heard somebody else say it. So they're affected by other people and without really making up their own mind as to what is right and what is wrong. And I think, you know, children are so susceptible to that. So at a young age, you really need to sort of be able to be careful what you say, do, and behave around them and what you give them. And so many kids today, I mean, the hurricane that we have our Peace Fund poker tournament coming up this weekend. And that's a big, big event because, you know, we want to help some of the kids in the hurricane areas in Houston and Florida and partly in Puerto Rico if we can get them. But logistically, it's sometimes a little tough. But, you know, we want to be able to sort of assist those kids and be there when somebody else needs the help. And obviously, school supplies that have been lost, schools that have been closed and damaged by the storms and that, kids need to go back to school. The quicker they go back to school, the quicker they can go on a path to learning. Because most of the people in the prison system today, for instance, who are in crime or in gangs and that, don't have an education. They don't know how to read or write. And why is that? Because either in class they couldn't, they didn't pay enough attention. Their parents took them out of it. They couldn't see because they didn't have the right glasses. They were too ashamed. Whatever reason it was. Most of the people in the prison system today, actually, it's something like 90% of them can't read or write. So it basically means it was their schooling that let them down, or for one reason or another, they basically couldn't read because they didn't have glasses, they didn't have the right teacher, they didn't have the right input. Kids need a chance at least to, you know, get some sort of career or advancement in life rather than turning to crime or some other mode of earning a living.
Adrian, the Peace Fund is in its 20 years and 20-year anniversary, and you said that. But and the SWORD experience is almost inspired by the Peace Fund. What inspired the Peace Fund itself 20 years ago?
Highlander.
Is that right?
Highlander,
okay.
Was inspired it because I was, you know, always accosted by a lot of kids, and I'd always wanted to do something for kids. I always knew there was something for kids that I wanted to do. There was nothing. I wasn't sure what, but I always saw, you know, when I was coming up to me and kids coming up to me with my autograph and what an effect I had on them, I thought, well, if I could do that, there are so many other celebrities that could do the same, and let's see what I can create to actually funnel that between corporate America and celebrities.
All right. Really appreciate you talking more about that Peace Fund because we know how important it is to you, and it is important to us, so feel free to let us know about any more Peace Fund activities. We're more than happy to share it on Blood of Kings. We wanted to ask you about the upcoming gathering convention here. Norm and I are both going to be there, so we're really looking forward to seeing you there. What are you looking forward to most at the Los Angeles Highlander Gathering? And can you also tell us what sword choreography you'll be doing there at the Sword Experience?
I think the most thing I'm looking forward to is seeing everybody again that I haven't seen in so long. You know, Stan, and I mean, I haven't seen Stan for about a year or so. Peter Wingfield, I haven't seen him for three or four. Jim Burns, maybe a couple of years. You know, so for all of us to be together in one space is very rare. So it's kind of a great occasion. So I'm sure there'll be, as Peter Wingfield mentioned at one point, a lot of silliness, very mythos statement. That's what's going to be fun. And as for choreography, no, I'm not going to tell you.
keeping it a surprise. I like that.
Let me say this. It's going to be a garage sequence. It's going to be a garage sequence. One of the episodes of Highlander.
Okay, all right.
I'll release it probably at the end of this week or the beginning of next week.
That's cool.
Oh, so many scenarios are playing in my head right now as soon as you said garage sequence.
we're really excited about that. Okay,
I was gonna do the very first Highlander movie in the garage, but it's two cuts. There was nothing in it. So
right.
That doesn't work.
Oh, you're talking about the Connor Fazil combat sequence. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, we're excited to find out about that. Now, we wanted to ask you a couple questions regarding Highlander itself. And one I've been wanting to ask you is both Norm and I have recently, within the last year, taken separate trips to Scotland. And I went first. And one of the bucket list places that I went to was Castle Chirrim, which is where you filmed a kind of sword kata scene for the episode Homeland that you directed. Two questions here. First of all, how did you find that place? Because driving there, it is out of the way, but it's extremely beautiful. And tell us a little bit about your experiences or story that maybe you haven't shared regarding your experience there filming Homeland.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I tell this story a lot. I mean, we went to Castle Chirrim and Glenfinnan at the end of season three to shoot the ins and outs of the Homeland series, but also mainly to shoot some exterior shots for the opening titles of the series, which are in the opening titles today. But we were met with, I mean, it was one problem after another, you know, it was so hard. And I got to Castle Chirrim late because we had so many problems during the day. For instance, the wardrobe didn't turn up at the first location, so we had to go back and get it, which was an hour delay. The horse that I was riding was not necessarily a film horse, so it bolted a couple of times. The producer went off with the sword to another location, and I had to go off somewhere else because there was moisture or rain in the camera. We had to go to the second location to get it dried out. By the time we got to Castle Chirrim, I arrived in a helicopter, and the producers said, we've got very little time at all to do anything.
Well, when we went to Castle Chirrim, we did notice that it was very hard to get there, so you had a slight advantage for flying in there, Adrian.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, it is tough. It was tough little roads to get there, and that's why it's a castle, because you couldn't reach it. You know, castles weren't put in easily accessible places. But it is a very beautiful spot, especially when the water, you know, goes out in the bay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one thing that we wanted to know, Adrian, and just to pivot away from Castle Chirrim, and also it's a Highlander-related question, we're coming up on the 25th anniversary convention, and I know that Carmel McPherson and John Mosby have done a lot of work preparing for this convention, but it also means for a lot of us, especially you, that we are celebrating a large milestone in Highlander history. And I was just wondering, as the convention gets closer, is there a point where you are like, I'm actually just kind of being flooded with a lot of memories, emotions of Highlander? What does the 25th anniversary convention mean to you? What's happening with you right now, like just in terms of what you're feeling?
Well, to be honest, I mean, you know, it's a milestone, and I've got so many things that are going on right now. I kind of get to each week and go, okay, what's coming on this week? it'll probably affect me more, I guess, when we get closer to the time. But right now, my goal is the fun poker tournament. I'm in the middle of shooting a film at the moment. So, and then I've got probably doing the contract, not totally signed, but been agreed upon. I'm doing a pilot for a series in November. So, work is busy at the moment. So I'm literally taking it week by week. See what's going on. So I'll let you know that next week, maybe.
So nothing has really settled in because you're so busy. I mean, we follow you a lot, like on social media, and you're actually very.
When people have issues, it's because they're sitting there thinking about them. When they've got something else that their attention span is on, they don't have to dwell on it as much. So same thing happens. Highlander is it's a part of all the memories of people and the acquaintances people have made and the stories that they've had because they've watched Highlander, and I think that is awesome. But it's also, part of some people's lives and not so much of others. But it's still a portion of your life, and I think you just have to take it as being a portion of it. And not necessarily, I don't think you have to dwell on it as much because the past is the past. The present is what really counts.
I mean, I think that's a fair point to say. I mean, a lot of people, especially the fans, we're waiting for this to happen because it's something that's actually very profound and meaningful to us. We're waiting for the Sword experience to happen. We're waiting for you to arrive there in Los Angeles, at that weekend. But, I know that there are so many other things that you're involved with. But I think the one thing that's important for like a lot of the fans and especially the Highland community in general is that this is probably the one moment that all of us are going to be able to come together and really celebrate what this means. Because I think that more than anything else, Highlander has inspired people. And I think that it's moved people in very positive directions. And I think that's something that's probably that you've heard like from time to time. I think the Sword experience has done that. So I guess that's why I'm trying to ask, what does this mean to you? What does the 25th anniversary mean to you? And do you think it's going to hit you harder when you actually walk into the Crown Plaza Hotel on October 20th?
I'll let you know when I get there.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm reading into that. Does that mean that you're going to give us an interview when we get there?
I mean, because you don't really think about it. It's part of growing up. It's a great thing, but it's part of my life. So are my kids. So is my soccer days, so is my modeling days. So there are a lot of parts of my life I'm grateful for. Highlander is one of those parts of my life I'm very, very grateful for. But to say I'm going to dwell on it, I don't know. I mean, would I like to do it again? Yeah, it'd be kind of fun. And, it has made me do the Sword experience. If I hadn't done Highlander, I wouldn't be doing the Sword experience. Mm-hmm. Or I might be doing it in a different form. So I'm thankful because it's given me, who I am. It taught me a lot of lessons. It allowed me as an actor to grow and learn a lot of things about history, about people, about relationships, about so many different things, about directing. So it's a very important part of my life, but it's, as I said, part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you one last question. And this is kind of going off script here, Norm, sorry. But it's been announced that Chad Stahelski, the director of the John Wick films, are going to be taking on Highlander and possibly maybe doing a trilogy. What do you think about this? Are you excited for this? Are you skeptical? What are your feelings?
You mean the director that did...
John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick. Yes, yeah. I think he's a good director. I think he's a director that could take Highlander to a new audience. And I think it's time for a new audience for that. It's a shame that some people don't want to see it happen because they're like, well, only the original counts. Well, there's a whole bunch of people out there that have never heard of Highlander, never known what it is, and I think it has legs. It has the ability to have a trilogy done. It has the ability to go into another series because it's been so long and people forget. One generation passes and the next one comes up. I think he's a very good director that I think would probably do it justice. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens. And again, when that happens, and if it happens, I heard the script is very good. And if it does happen, then it'll revamp the entire Highlander franchise. So people will go back and see the series and the other films and all that stuff. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
That's one of the things that Norm and I are really, really excited about. Well, Adrian, on behalf of Norman, really, really wanted to thank you for coming on Blood of Kings. It was really nice to meet you in person. We're really excited about reuniting with you at the Highlander 25th Anniversary Convention. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome, guys. I guess I'm going to be seeing you next week, and we'll be announcing a lot of stuff for our tours next year, which the Highlander experience, Sword Experience is going on a whole different bent next year, because we're going to be pushing more our corporate stuff. We're going to be pushing more tours to places like maybe Hawaii and to, you know, obviously south of France and Europe again. But I'm looking to expand upon it so it's more like a 3 or 4 day experience that people can go on a vacation for and, you know, not just see sword stuff, but maybe some rock climbing or great hikes or dolphin watching and all different types of activities as a vacation as well. So, you know, as an experience. So, you know, look out for that because it's going to be coming.
Oh, we're really excited about that, and we'll be the first to report it here on Blooded Kings. Adrian, again, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome, guys. I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, we'll see you soon. Thank you, Adrian. Goodbye. Wow. Oh, Norman, it was such an honor to have Adrian on. It's been a great honor interviewing him. I got to tell you, man, what a wonderful, wonderful guy.
You know, I think the one thing about Adrian that strikes me the most is just how deeply passionate he is about his projects. I think they affect him deeply in a very profound way. You know, there are celebrities out there that do charity and they do good works, but I think that there are occasions where you actually see how much of an impact that these events also bring to him personally, and how much he stretches out and reaches into the communities that he can affect. So that's just something that is inspiring and something that I think a lot of people will come to realize once they take part in an event and see how deeply he is from every detail of being part of his organizations. I think that's something that's very refreshing to see.
Yeah, and then you can tell how passionate he is about the program, and as well as talking about Peace Fund. And we here at Blooded King support everything that he does. And it's really exciting to just speak with him and also get, and also knowing that we get to see him in like less than 2 weeks in person. Isn't that cool?
it's super cool. But I think that some of our nerves have actually been assuaged a little bit because both of us have actually done the Sword Experience and have met him in person. I think that if we lined up this interview, and thank you for doing that again, Kevin. I know you worked hard to line up this interview. But if we haven't spoken to him in person or actually have been in the same room with him or actually locked swords or bokens with him, I think we probably would have been a little bit more nervous prior to this interview, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally.
I remember the first time that we interviewed Anthony DeLongis and Efrain McAsh and Elizabeth, because we never met them before. That was before any of these events we did happened, and we were kind of like school kids, you know.
What was great though, you had a chance to meet him first at the Sword Experience in Los Angeles, and it was great because I remember the next day he put on our Blooded Kings t-shirt that you gave him, and we were wearing those same t-shirts at the Lakeland, Florida event, and he recognized the thing, and so it was really nice to kind of break the ice with him knowing he'd already met you, and he was very, very sweet and took time talking to us and signing autographs. So, that's great. Thank you so much again, Adrian. Really, really appreciate you coming on. And we hope that the Blooded Kings fans out there that are supporting us have been doing a great job doing that as well on Blooded Kings. We hope that you enjoyed that interview. We've been wanting to get that for you guys for a very, very long time. Did want to let you guys know that we do have some other great programming. We have some great past episodes of Blooded Kings. You can check us out. We had, of course, the Convention Survival Guide. We talked about the Season 1 weapons with our editor, Mike Sellers.
We also talked about the prize and is it worth it? And we also want to let listeners know that we will have some convention, hopefully some convention interviews for you. And Norm and I will also be doing a wrap up of the convention on Sunday night, hopefully to get that out to you a few days later. So we're going to bring as much as we can for those of you that have not had a chance to come out to the gathering, and we will try to break it all down for you. So make sure that you check Blood of Kings for that. We also have Culture Clash, which is our weekly fandom show that I co-host with Kyle, talking about all news. And of course, we're going to be talking about Blade Runner and, of course, some Star Wars trailer that's coming out soon. So we're excited about that, Norm.
I heard about that. Yeah. I like the Star Wars.
We also have Couch Potato Theater. We've been very busy with that. Recently, we did Blade Runner. I also recorded, the Rona Mitra film, Doomsday. So we're really, really excited about that. We also have Time Warp, 1987, the movies, part 3 recently came out. And we also recorded a Buffy special that you were on there as well, Norm. You couldn't get on that one. That's right, Norm. I was there in spirit, for sure. You were there in spirit, but we had Aaron Gill and Kyle. We talked about Buffy. We're going to release that for Halloween. And we also have Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with our hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris, talking about the master of suspense. And then we also have The End Zone, our weekly football special that Kyle and I love to talk about. But we also have a new episode or a new show that we are both very proud of. Norm and I are co-hosts for Discoville. Norm, why don't you tell the listeners what Discoville is about?
Well, Discoville came out of, it's almost a passion project, because you and I, Kev, are huge fans of Star Trek in general, but also Star Trek Discovery, and huge fans of the Orville. So one thing led to another, and you know what? We both decided that there needs to be a space for fans out there to be able to come and celebrate both shows, because everyone knows out there in social media space that it's either my way or the highway. It's either it is or it's not. Only the Sith deal in absolutes. Everyone knows this. So we want to make sure that the Discovery show, the Star Trek Discovery, and the Orville are both being celebrated for what they are, and they are their own individual shows. So we all invite you to come and celebrate those two shows on Discoville, and we are doing those shows and dropping new information on you as soon as these episodes are released, because the one thing about Blood of Kings that's neat is that we can look at Blood of Kings retrospectively almost every single episode, because they're until Chad Stahelski's movies come out, there are no new episodes of Highlander. But we have to actually wait for Discovery and the Orville to actually release.
Yes,
in order to talk about the podcast. So as much as we like to do a little bit more, we're kind of regulated by their own releases.
And one of the things we want to stress too is that we're going to have fun talking about both of these properties in a positive manner, because we know there's some negativity with fans out there, and they can be pretty harsh, but we're going to celebrate both of these shows. We love them, and it's going to be fun to kind of talk about the influences of Star Trek for Orville, and how this new Star Trek Discovery is changing the landscape of Star Trek fandom. So we're really, really excited about that. Check out Discoville. Mm-hmm. Well, Norman, this has been a great show, one that has been a long time coming. And I got to tell you, though, what I'm most excited for right now is not just having a wonderful guest like Adrian Paul on, but I get to see you in less than 2 weeks in Los Angeles, the Crowne Plaza, getting our Highlander on.
That's going to be really exciting. And not to downplay it too much, because we did see each other when we went to go see Anthony DeLongis not too long ago up at Rancho Indalo, but you and I actually haven't been at a convention together, let alone a Highlander convention together. You know, you had the opportunity to be there with Kyle and with Aaron and with all the fans and with the Highlander Rewatched guys in Lakeland, Florida in December.
Yeah, I think the last time you and I were at a convention was when I was working for Decipher for the Lord of the Rings trading card game, and you were one of the volunteers at San Diego Comic-Con maybe like years ago.
Try like 2003 or 2004. Yeah. we're going to be there, and it's going to be exciting. Here's the funny thing. It's like someone out there in Blood of Kings land, we will be your very special best friends if you can follow us and just be our photographer for the weekend. Because there's one thing that I want to make sure that and encourage everyone to do, take pictures with your shirts on, your Blood of Kings shirts, because our T Public store has been very busy, especially with some very large scale Blood of Kings orders. Thank you very much.
I'm glad you reminded me of that, Norm. I did not mention that early in the episode, but we do have a T Public store that you can, if you go onto T Public and search Fandom Podcast Network, you'll see all Blood of Kings designs, including the new hashtag Team Iron Pipe logo we've got up there. You can get them on t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and books and coffee mugs. So make sure you check that out. And we're really excited about seeing those of you that have purchased your Blood of Kings swag at the Highlander 25th anniversary gathering. All right. Well, on behalf of our very special guest, Adrian Paul, and on behalf of my co-host, Norman, thanks everyone for listening to this very special episode of Kingmakers. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blood of Kings. Goodbye, everyone.